Part 3. Astrology and Daily Life. In what manner does the countenance of the sky at the moment of a man's birth determine his character? It acts on the person during his life in the manner of the loops which a peasant ties at random around the pumpkins in his field. They do not cause the pumpkin to grow, but they determine its shape. The same applies to the sky. It does not endow a man with his habits, history, happiness, children, riches, or a wife, but it molds his condition. Kepler, quoted in Arthur Koestler, The Sleepwalkers. One of the attractions of astrology for many people is that by showing them their star-given virtues and failings, it helps them to make the best of their lives. Like all magical thinkers, astrologers put a high value on balance and equilibrium. They disapprove of excess, extremes, extravagance, and eccentricity. You may lack balance because of the planetary positions at your birth. A person of great drive and enthusiasm may fail in life without favorable aspects from Saturn, which will give him realism and orderliness of mind. A practical, down-to-earth person needs favorable influences from Jupiter to broaden his interests and give him ways of expansion. But the planets do not doom you to failure or unhappiness, and once you know your deficiencies, you can try to correct them. The stars impel, they do not compel, is a favorite astrological maxim, and most modern astrologers, in theory at least, do not believe that a man is inevitably destined to follow the track mapped out for him at birth in the heavens. Human beings have free will, and we can assert ourselves against the stars. In practice, astrologers are curiously split-minded about this subject. They claim a very high degree of accuracy for their predictions. Lindo, for instance, claims to be right 80% to 90% of the time. And if they are right, most of us must follow docilely along our star-impelled courses. But the astrologers are not deterred by the thought that the more accurate their forecasts, the less chance they can have of helping us to alter our destinies. And they think of themselves not as mere fortune-tellers, but as counselors who show us the way to happiness and success. Naturally, they are much concerned with love and marriage. Before you marry, you should have your own and your prospective partner's birth charts checked to make sure that the two of you are compatible. If you were really sensible, you would take the stars into account before even beginning to involve yourself with a possible husband or wife, which might save you the embarrassment of having to break off an engagement on the advice of your astrologer. As a rough guide, one theory is that you will be happiest with someone born under the zodiac sign opposite your own. In astrology, opposites attract, and two people born under opposite signs should make a balanced, harmonious couple. This is a reflection of the magical doctrine that all progress comes through the reconciliation of opposites. Another traditional theory says you should marry someone who is in your own triplicity, but not someone who is in your quadruplicity. The fiery Aries man should marry a fiery Leo or Sagittarius woman, but he ought to avoid a cardinal, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn woman at all costs. This is because your triplicity is a group of three. Three is the number of the reconciliation of opposites, and also the number of procreation and fertility, so it is a favorable number for marriage. Your quadruplicity is a group of four, which is the ominous number of misery and defeat. Astrologers recognize that many people entangle themselves in love affairs and marriages without taking the precaution of consulting the stars, and most astrological magazines give advice to the dissatisfied and the lovelorn. At least one expert can tell a wife whether her husband has been unfaithful to her or not if the husband's place, date, and time of birth are supplied. Once married, you can consult the stars to find the correct time for having children who will be a credit to you. An American astrologer says, quote, "It is now possible for astrologically guided unions to produce congenial children with desired characteristics and a reasonable certainty of sex," unquote. Besides acting as marriage counselors, astrologers can determine which days in the future will be favorable for any conceivable activity. The ephemerides of the 15th century astrologer Regiomontanus included notes of favorable times for new enterprises, sowing, planting and cultivation of vines, taking a bath, or having one's hair cut. Modern astrologers are equally thorough. Astrological magazines list good days for baking, sewing, dancing, giving a party, buying a car, taking photographs, pouring concrete, buying new clothes, having your hair cut to stimulate growth when the moon is waxing, or having it cut to retard growth when the moon is waning. Some magazines give lucky moon days, which are usually based on the mansions of the moon. The moon travels through the entire zodiac in a little over 27 days. The mansions of the moon mark the sections of the zodiac traversed by the moon each day. Agrippa called the first mansion, which starts at 0 degrees Aries, the ram's horns, and said that the moon in this stage of its course causes discord and journeys on earth. The second mansion, beginning between 12 degrees and 13 degrees Aries, is favorable for finding buried treasure and for preventing prisoners from escaping. According to Pliny's Natural History, the 20th day of the moon is good for curing warts. The sufferer should go out into the country at night, lie down flat in a path, gaze steadily at the moon, reach above his head, and rub the warts with whatever he first touches. The moon is important for day-to-day matters because it changes its position in the zodiac more rapidly than the sun or the planets. But astrologers can chart all the planetary positions and aspects for any day in the future for any project you have in mind. For example, an astrologer might warn you against buying a house when Mercury is in a difficult aspect with Mars, and might tell you to wait till Mercury, the planet of trade, is in conjunction or easy aspect with Jupiter, prosperity. If you are buying or selling an animal, the sixth house in the chart is important because it governs four-footed animals. A moment when the moon is in Capricorn and the sixth house should certainly be a good time to buy a goat. Astrologers also consider the sixth house in forecasting the results of horse races. One method is to draw a chart for the time and place of the race and check the planetary positions against the colors which will be carried by the horses. The old planets have colors which are traditionally associated with them, and for racing purposes, the new planets represent stripes, Uranus, hoops or checks, Neptune, and spots, Pluto. If a horse will be carrying scarlet colors, its planet for the race is Mars, and if Mars is well aspected, especially if it is in the sixth house, the horse's prospects are good. By calculating planetary positions and aspects for any day in the future, astrologers discover the planetary trends of the moment and show you how to take advantage of them. In all the multitudinous activities and problems of your life, you can get yourself right with the stars and help them to help you. The branch of astrology which selects a favorable moment for the future is electional astrology. An allied branch, horary astrology, tells you how a project will turn out by charting the planetary positions at the time when the idea of the project first came into your mind. Current planetary trends are the second factor on which horoscopes in newspapers and magazines are based, the first being your sun sign. At the time of writing, Neptune is in Scorpio. Neptune is an impressionable planet, and so Scorpios are being warned against trickery and deception. You can avoid difficulties best by keeping to yourself. Make your personal needs your own private business. Keep emotions and money both where they belong. Uranus, the planet of sudden change and upheaval, is in Virgo. And so Virgos are being told to guard against the unexpected. Don't be rushed into decisions. A trouble-free week if you steer clear of arguments. Avoid making a major change or decision. A more complicated method of predicting the influences of the stars on your life in the near future is provided by astrological progression systems. Karl Kraft, one of Hitler's astrologers, said that, quote, "The birth chart remains impregnated once and for all with everything concerning the individual, since his constellations still play a part at the moment of his decease," unquote. But the planets did not suddenly vanish from the sky when you were born. They have continued to influence you since. A progression system is a method of measuring the planetary influences on you since your birth. Unfortunately, the astrologers have not been able to agree on any one system. When an astrologer draws a progressed chart, he makes a curious and important assumption. He says, let X days in the sky equal Y years on Earth. The difference between the various progression systems is largely a difference in the figures which are inserted for X and Y. Astrologers do not explain the equation itself. They compare it to the scale used in drawing a map, 1 inch to 1 mile, for example. But they defend it simply by saying that it works. In the system most frequently used, 1 day in the sky is taken to equal 1 year on Earth. Suppose you were born at 10 a.m. on June the 1st. The movements of the planets between that time and 10 a.m. the next day govern the first year of your life. Their movements in the next 24 hours govern the second year of your life, and so on. If you are now beginning your 41st year, your life to date has been influenced by the planetary movements during the first 40 days of your existence. The progress chart for the coming year shows the sky at 10 a.m. on July the 11th in the year of your birth, the beginning of your 41st day of life. The ascendant and the house boundaries are calculated for that day and time at your birthplace. The zodiac sign on the ascendant and the sign occupied by the sun in this chart will affect your personality in the year ahead, and so will any planet in the first house. If the progressed ascendant is in Gemini, for instance, this will give a lighter, airier cast to your personality in the coming year, though without destroying your basic natal characteristics. Your ruling planet for this year will be Mercury, Gemini's ruler, and the affairs of the house occupied by Mercury will be important. There will be minor changes in the affairs of the house occupied by the moon, because the moon rules fluctuation. There will be activity in the affairs of the house occupied by Mars, and probably disagreements and disputes about them. If Jupiter, expansion, is in the first house, appearance, you may put on weight in the year ahead. And if Saturn, restriction, is in the eighth house, sources of gain, people who owe you money will be reluctant to pay up. Aspects to the moon, ruler of women, will affect your relations with women. Adverse aspects to Mercury may cause you to be absent-minded, make clerical errors, give people the wrong change, or say the wrong things. The idea that a day in the sky equals a year on Earth might be defended on the ground that the zodiac makes a complete revolution in the sky in 1 day, while the Earth takes 1 year to complete its orbit round the sun. It may also be connected with the old belief that 36,000 years make one great year. When a great year ends, the universe will go back to the beginning like a restarted gramophone record, and everything that has happened will happen all over again. Some classical authorities, including Plato, thought that the natural span of man's life should be 100 years of 360 days each year. If man lives 100 years, and the universe lives 36,000 years, it can be said that the life of the universe moves at 360 times the speed of human life, so that the development of the universe in 1 day is the equivalent of man's development in 360 days, or 1 year.